Engage fluo injectors.
Engaging fluo injectors.
Fluo reactors at 80%, sir.
Fluo containment field is destabilizing.
Emergency fluo containment protocols now. All hands brace for impact.
Brace for impact in 3, 2, 1.
Hot diggity dog, we're back with another episode of World 1-1 Podcast. Quick tease for the third half of the show. This week, we're looking at and asking the question, should speedrunning be a sport? So, stay tuned for that. Also, shout out to our awesome sponsor, Imaginary Authors, helping you up your scent game. More about them right before the break. If you haven't already, subscribe. Share it with a friend. If it feels right, just go with the feeling. But definitely subscribe and share anyways. If you haven't already, you should also absolutely jump into our Discord. Link to that also in the show notes.
Choose your fighter.
I am, as always, your host, Raw to the Wall. Joining me this week is nobody, at least not for the first half. So if you're watching the YouTube version of this, you've probably already figured out that something's a little different this week. And if you're listening to the audio, you may have noticed nobody else has chimed in. And that's because this week's a little bit different, just for the first half. Third half of the show, down the warp pipe, deep dive, as always, awesome. Make sure you stay tuned and check that out. But this week, for the first half, I wanted to take a few minutes, just us, just me and you, you know, put the earbuds in. This isn't for somebody. This is for you. This is our time together. So really, actually, we've just got some kind of housekeeping notes and a few things I wanted to talk about just a little bit for some new people that are maybe finding us recently, as opposed to those that have been with us since the beginning, 8 long years ago. First off, if you're new, new-ish, welcome. We're happy to have you. It's nice to see you. I'd love to chat with you. If you'd love to chat with us, jump in the Discord. We'll chitter-chatter. It's nice. It's chill. But, real quick, some housekeeping notes and some things to look forward to. One, we have left, depending on timelines of me getting a few things done, Podbean. We have shifted over to transistor.fm. They offered a better solution for what we needed going into the future for us, for you. One of the biggest things that really prompted this change, this shift, this move, is Transistor offers us multiple RSS feeds for no additional cost. So here's what that means to you. That means that if you're listening to this in the main network feed, you'll still find all the new stuff there. But we're going to be rolling out some other stuff. One of the first things we're doing is we're going to keep this the main network master feed. So all the shows, all the content from across our network will be here. Always. But if you're only looking for one particular thing, this is going to get a lot easier. Like if you just liked I'd Play That for $1 or Mind Over Media, that kind of thing, our other shows. I call them sideshows, but that's not fair to them because they're all really great shows. They're just not the flagship show. They're the Armada shows. There we go. That feels much more fitting and grandiose and fun, honestly. Gives you an excuse to say the word Armada. It's a good word. Anyways, So those shows will all be getting their own separate RSS feeds, which means if that's the only thing that you're looking for, you can subscribe to just that show and keep up with that and filter out everything else for your ease and convenience. Additionally, the first thing that you're going to see happening, though, is the flagship show, World 1-1 Podcast, getting the first dedicated feed. And everything will be there. All 8 years of World 1-1 in that feed, all in order, so you can binge listen to your little digital heart's content. One of the next things that will be rolling out after that, this is for anybody that's new or new-ish to World 1-1. We're going to be rolling out an additional feed called World 1-1 Classic. And it's just going to be us re-releasing all the old episodes a week at a time. Because I know, especially if you're new, you can jump in and look at our backlog and go, oh, fuck this, that's too much. So World 1-1 Classic is going to offer a way to get into us, into World 1-1 from the beginning, without feeling overwhelmed. We'll drop an episode a week until everything's caught up, and then eventually it'll just kind of be there. We might put some lag on there. I don't know. I'll figure it out. But that's several years out. Holy crap. Anyways. But from there, you're going to see RSS feeds rolling out for our Armada shows. I'm absolutely sticking with that from now on. God, that makes me happy. So, Bazon Labs. I'd play that for $1. Mind Over Media. All of that. Getting their own individual feeds, and we'll be rolling those out one episode a week of the old backlog content. Now, this brings us to the subject of the Armada shows. Because if you've been with us for a while, you may have noticed they haven't been around in a while. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One was a whole lot of stuff just kind of happened in everybody's life all at once. Two is that these were all weekly productions. And aside from Mind Over Media, I was handling all of it myself. So, and this is not to... It's not a dig. It's not a slight at anybody else who was on any of those shows, because those shows wouldn't have happened without them. But all the editing, publishing, social media, all of that has been pretty much a one-man show from the beginning. Way back in the earliest days, Eddie handled the editing, what little of it there was, but eventually it got, you know, I took over on that side of it too. And for 8 years, it's kind of mostly been a one-man show outside of recording and a few other things. But the heavy lifting on the back end that nobody really sees, thinks about, notices, that was me. And it's not me tooting my own horn. This is just me saying that juggling all of those on a weekly basis was a lot. Hard Copy Hounds is another one that I'm working on bringing back to. Just need to find a better way to do the show prep for it. That was very labor intensive. Holy cow, you have no idea. Not to mention, if you've never just sat and read a list out loud, go get the phone book sometime. The phone book. Names and phone numbers out loud for like 15 minutes. It's a lot, especially to do it like, well, weird, wild. Anyways, sorry, I'm tangenting, but I don't normally do this by myself. And I'm kind of rattling a list off the top of my head because was an idiot and didn't like make notes like I probably should have because I'm getting old and addle-minded. We are looking at bringing back the Armada shows. There's not a timeline for it at this point, but it is a series of conversations that have been happening in the background with a few people about bringing those back. We very much want to bring back I'd Play That for a Dollar. That got great response. That was our budget gaming show. And if you haven't checked it out, you can totally dig through the archives and the master feed. Or if you want to hang out and give me a little bit of time, and I'll make sure that when the new RSS feeds for the individual Armada shows roll out, everybody will know. We'll make a little stink about it. So keep your eyes peeled for that if you want to go that way. Phazon Labs. Michael and I have been talking a little bit in the background. We'd love to go back to it. Mind Over Media, I know, actually has new episodes that are in production right the hell now. So that's a thing that's coming back. That one is coming back maybe a little differently than the rest of them will, just because that's not one that I actually handle. That's the one show out of our network that I wasn't doing anything on, let alone everything. But we're going to be looking at rolling them out again, bringing them back and rolling them out in a seasonal format with a kind of the World 1-1 version of ESPN2, you know, World 1-2 network. And we'd like to bring them back for maybe like 10 or 12 episode seasons and just rotate those shows out so you'll have a regular weekly dose of an Armada show, but not all of them at once. And I think too that'll let us make those shows better for us, for you. Beyond that, if you're new here, or even if you've been with us for a while, I wanted to take a minute, and maybe I should have done this at the top, but we're rolling with it. We're jamming. It's just us, and we're hanging the hell out. A little bit about... I want to talk just for a minute a little bit about the World 1-1 Podcast, World 1-1 Podcast Network, and what we strive to do here. We've been at it for 8 years. There's been a little bit of off and on, but 8 years we've been doing it. We may have stumbled a time or two, but Jesus, we got back up and we're still here. And every once in a while, I have to remind myself that that alone is an accomplishment. So I'm going to take 2 seconds and pat myself on the back, because I don't normally do that in a very genuine sense. We've grown, changed, evolved over the years. We admittedly used to be kind of just a face in the crowd. We didn't really do much of anything different that anybody else wasn't doing. That said, I think personality counts for a lot, and honestly, I had a lot of fun doing that kind of same old shtick with the people that I was doing it with. Adrian, Tony, Eddie. If it wasn't for those three dudes, we wouldn't have started. This wouldn't be a thing in the first place. And so even though they've gone their directions and are doing their things, and sadly, I don't really get to hear from Tony anymore. And Adrian I talk to a little bit now and then, and Adrian's well. So for anybody that was wondering, it's been here from the beginning. And Eddie still actually periodically pops on. He's been on a couple of episodes recently. You know, we still talk. God, I love the man. I should. That's family at this point. Anyways. But we've grown and evolved, and what we've grown and evolved into, I don't think we've ever really talked about or at least I don't think I've ever really talked about on air explicitly or intentionally. But I've taken great pride in what we've become, and that is a podcast that strives to do more than all the others. You can get your gaming news of the week tens of thousands of different places. And admittedly, some of them are pretty good even. That said, it's been done, and it's been done better than we could have, and we did it for a little while by a lot of other people. But more importantly, I discovered that we were really good about going further than skin deep. And I found that was something that honestly kind of had been bugging me about so much of the video game content that even I was consuming. Everybody was talking a lot and everybody was saying the same thing, but it was all so surface level. And I wanted more, and I figured I couldn't be the only person that did. So we kind of tightened our focus and figured out that we wanted to go in a direction that would create a library for forever of content, of material. God, don't tell anybody I said the word content in that context. You, I feel gross inside. Anyways, but that we would create a library, an archive of shows, of materials, of conversations, of thought processes, of jokes, and everything else. It would stand the test of time, at least for a while, and aim for more evergreen content that goes deeper than skin deep. Talking about gaming, the industry, the medium, the community, the business, the economics, the social implications, bad and good. What the future might look like. And I know one day I'm going to see something in 10 years and go, holy shit, we talked about that one time. I can point to an episode right there. We called it. Or I can laugh at how horribly wrong we were. And along the way, try and sprinkle in a little hope for the future. Just a smidgen, a pinch, a dash, a sprinkle. Just a tiny bit. And I think we've done pretty good with that. And I hope you think that we've done pretty decent with that too. You know, we try not to let it get too serious, but sometimes it's got to get serious. But we also try and make sure it's at least fun to listen to. And that's real easy to do when you got a whole bunch of friends that you love just hanging out with and spending time. I love every person that's involved in this whole hoopla with me. The ones that are here, the ones that were here. I don't know. Might see some of them back again one day. Who knows? But I thought it'd be a good idea to say some of this out loud on the microphone while it's recording once, because I don't think we've really done that. It seemed like a good thing to do, just to really let people know, put it out there in no uncertain terms, what we're about, what we do, what makes us different, why you should check us out, why you should tell other people to check us out and keep coming back. And for those of you that are listening, and doubly so for those of you that have been listening for a while and thrice for like the maybe three people that were listening from the very beginning. I appreciate all of you. I love the time that we get to have every week. Even though this is technically a one-sided conversation, which it doesn't have to be. Discord, come talk to us. But I also just want to say I feel really blessed that I get to do this every week and have a chance to hang out and talk with my friends and the people that I love about a thing that we all love. And I'm really happy that you, the listener, the viewer, the Discord denizen, hopefully, if not yet, maybe soon. I love getting to have this time with y'all. I hope that we get to have a lot more of it. And maybe a little selfishly, I'll say, I love that I get to do this because I love my friends. I love getting to hang out with the people that I love every week. And I'm sure I've just talked in a circle for the last 3.5 minutes, but you know what? It's a soft moment. We'll just go with it. Don't tell anybody. It's our secret. I can't tell you beyond that. We've got some really cool stuff coming up. I've been chatting with and talking to some future guests for the show. We're working on bringing the Armada shows back. The flagship show, World 1-1, is back. It has been back for a while now, and I feel like we're headed in the right direction. And I hope you do too. I feel like we're going in the direction of a show that I'd want to listen to. And I think that's a big part of what drives what we do now too, is we try and make the kind of show that we'd want to listen to. And because we're really hard-pressed to find it anywhere else, we go, well, I guess we can make it. So that's what we try and do. And I hope you folks all dig what we do. That said, let's wrap up the sappy, teary-eyed moment. I'm glad we had this moment, but it's done now. And shout out our awesome sponsor, Imaginary Authors, helping you up your scent game with fragrances and scents for guys, gals, and non-binary pals. They've got awesome, awesome scents all across the board. Check out A Whiff of Waffle Cone, because guess what? Summertime's around the corner, and nothing is more enticing in the summertime than a waffle cone. Got hints of vanilla. Oh, it's so good. That sugar smells so sweet. Be irresistible and up your scent game with Imaginary Authors. Click the link in the show notes. Helps us, helps them, helps you. Go check them out. Imaginary Authors, get your stuff. We'll be back with the third half of the show right after the break. And we're back with the third half of the show. This week, we're taking a dive down the warp pipe.
Oh, wow. Love these pipes. Yeah!
And asking the question, should speedrunning be considered a sport? And before we started this recording, Eddie and Kathy were already chomping at the bit over this. Like, yeah, we've hit a good one. And the irony, the stupid thing is, this topic has been sitting on the topic list for almost a fucking year, and we haven't hit it yet. Maybe longer, truthfully. But in any case, so let's dive in. Quick roundtable, yes or no, and then we'll go deep. Josh, yes or no?
Sure, why not?
Eddie, yes or no?
No.
Michael, yes or no?
No.
Kathy?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes, but let's dive in here. I want to hear from the two that I don't know the opinions on the most. Michael, why?
I don't believe it should be considered a sport because more often than not, speedrunning requires a bunch of very specific, very finely tuned tricks to almost, like, not exactly cheat, but almost cheat the game system. And that's not a sport to me. That's rote memorization.
Okay. And LeGrew?
I have almost the opposite as Michael. I believe everything he says. However, I think that the rote memorization could be a sport. Just that level of commitment to figure out, like, to break the game, it should be rewarded in some way other than just memorization. Because look at, like, Super Mario 64. Like, people figure out how to break the game to get out of the boundaries of the game. And how long did that take them to do? It's not just memorization. It's, like, lots of hours, lots of time spent.
You're not wrong, but as I said, that doesn't mean it should be a sport.
I think, right. Why, like, to me, why not consider it part of the esports genre? Because it doesn't hurt to consider it. If you don't consider it, it gives it like kind of delegitimizes it, in my opinion.
So that changes the definition of the question of esports and.
Right, and that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about changing the definition of the question.
I just said sports, but I'm okay asking either here. Because then you also, there's the next question from that is, should esports be considered a sport? Which is something that's been bandied about for a while now.
I mean, the reality is when you think really hard and you're like using your brain, you can use as many calories as you can in an actual physical sport. Mm-hmm. So if, like, what are we trying to figure out? Like, is it hard?
So, you know? So, because the thing with esports, so it's more of a competition, multiplayer. You have teams from around the world who are playing one game that allows four or more players. When you think of speed running, it is one person because it's a campaign that someone is playing through to get through the game faster, in a sense. That will allow you to shorten the length of your gameplay. And if we look at sports have rules and things that are allowed legally and things that are not considered, things that are considered illegal. So if we look at a sports function, no, it does not hit that, because with speed running, you're supposed to break the game. In other words, you're supposed to cheat through the game, and cheat as in taking the glitches and bugs that is offered, that is placed in the game, that hasn't been patched or fixed, and use them to your advantage. That's part of the cheating. The TSA one, the TAS, like when you're using...
Oh, TASBOT?
Yeah, when you're using something else like that,
that's tool-assisted speed run for anybody out there that does not know what that is. Those are actually really interesting and cool to watch. If you've never seen them, check them out. The GDQ usually has a small block feature of TASBOT stuff every time they're up.
Yes, so like those are kind of excluded from. I don't want to say excluded from the discussion, but those are a big form of cheating to get through a game.
But that's a different. That's a whole different thing that we're talking about. My opinion, because that's tool assisted.
At this point, TASBOT doesn't enter into the equation.
No.
Yeah, and that's why I said that. That's not really part of this discussion, but it is part of speed running for people who want to know.
Sure.
If we look at it as a
almost TASBOT in speed running is almost the equivalent of somebody building like a tennis playing robot.
Yeah,
so, correct. But
that's kind of
it'll eventually take over the world.
Yeah. If we look at it as an esport,
Terminator got destroyed. 40 love.
If we look at it as an esport, and it was kind of like, Olympic style competition from people around the world on how they could get through a game, then yes, I would be down for that being kind of like an esport thing. But the moment that you start considering it as a sport and you started adding in the glitches and the bugs and cheating through that instead of playing the game, in the way, like I would mention, like Mega Man, like if you could dash most of Mega Man without getting touched and get to the boss and beat him the quickest, I'll consider that, yes, as a sport or even as an e-sport, because you're playing the game, you're using the mechanics that is placed in the game that hasn't been altered or anything.
Right. I understand that, but my whole thing is they're also not altering the game. They're playing the game. They're just doing something in the game that they didn't think about.
Well, and that's why I feel like when it gets to the using the glitches and bugs, that,
sure,
that shouldn't be part of sports.
No, I think that's up for debate. Like, I think we could actually have a conversation with that, because that is, I think a lot of people are saying, okay, like if you just can get through like Mario the fastest using the game, like, yeah, don't try to like glitch out. Maybe that should be its own category then. If you say I'm gonna glitch out of the game, use that as my own category, would that be okay?
I mean, that in a sense, that's why I say if you're doing that stuff like in an Olympic style, like,
right,
like because everybody could use those glitches, but if you could find glitches, if someone used a glitch that I didn't know about that was in the game for them to get a faster time, that's, to me, that's competitive, and I would feel more as an Olympic kind of sport. But if we're talking about like an NFL sport or NBA sport, and we're trying to think of like that kind of league sport, I don't think it should be fit into that category because of the using the glitches and the bugs that's placed into the game. And in my mind, in my opinion, that I feel like that's a form of cheating, speed running through a game. Because
so I'm going to step in.
Let's toss to Kathy at this point, actually.
I'm going to step in with that. Is it cheating to use your opponent's weakness against them? For example, as somebody who played a lot of sports, if I knew that my opponent had a weak backhand, I would hit all my shots to their backhand, forcing them to make the errors. Is that cheating because I'm using their glitch against them?
No, that's not. No, that's not.
So how is But I'm taking their weakness. I'm using what they are. I'm basically playing to the game, right? Wouldn't that be the same as me using what's available to me in a game? I'm using what's available to me at that time in my tennis match to beat my opponent. I'm in speed running. If I know of this glitch, I'm using it to my advantage to do better, to be faster in the game. I'm using what's available to me. It's not that the game put it in there, and it's not like I created the glitch. The glitch is in there because of the game developing. So I'm using it to my advantage to have a faster time. How is that cheating the system?
It's cheating in the system because of the way that you're taking advantage of it to get through. That glitch is not the weakness. You're taking advantage. You know the other player has a weak backhand. So because you know it, you're going to take advantage of it because you're
But knowing, I know of this glitch.
You know of it.
But I know everything. Of this glitch in the system, so why wouldn't I use it?
I mean, but that's a big probability. You're not going to always be able to hit a shot, even with that hand. So
if I'm a competent player, I can force that play all the time.
And
gamer, you can get that glitch every single time.
Now this is the thing: other player might actually start learning about why, might have get an idea that you're going to hit it, and they want you to hit it and surprise you that they know how to counter that. When you are having a glitch in a game, you can't, the glitch doesn't know that you're using is disadvantaged to get through the game.
Until the game developer remakes it and takes out the glitch.
Right.
Yeah.
which has happened, which is why I'm still pissed at Nintendo for taking out my infinite rupee glitch in Tears of the Kingdom because of me getting shared of how I could get all that frozen meat, and then they took it out. So, yes.
But hell, they don't even have to remake it to remove glitches.
No.
We've gone through multiple iterations even before patches with different versions of the retail disc of like Metroid Prime being released. That's a consideration.
In effect, that would be like my opponent trying to force it into a different way. Game developers are now forcing me to play the game differently because they realized, oh, this is a glitch. And you're taking advantage of it. So now I'm going to fix it.
And that's why sometimes, if we're talking about real life players who have stuff like this, they're going to get wise. They're going to trick you as the opponent to hit their weak spot because they know how to counter it. And video games, before even getting a patch, once people start talking about it and showing video nowadays and not keeping their mouth shut, the developers and the publishers are going to find out about this and patch it. And people can't get mad because they talked about it. You ran your mouth. You showed it off. And you made these developers notice one of the bugs or one of the bugs that was in the game. So they're working on code to fix it, to take it out. And you can't blame the publisher or the developer. You got to blame everybody who had kept their mouth open. If you didn't say nothing about it, if it was being a speedrun game being shown off, and hopefully that publisher or developer wasn't paying attention, then yes, it could be nowadays it could be a sport if all it wants to. But the problem is that once people start taking advantage of it and start showing it off, it can't be no sport because it's going to get fixed. Then when all that stuff, all those glitches and bugs start getting fixed and stuff, how would you speed run the game? Like, how would you make that a sport again? Because
you can still speed run it through without the glitch, though. You had to find a different way to get faster at it. And it's just like with the Super Mario speed runs, people kept, you know, we had one time that was faster, and then somebody kept beating it, and they kept beating it, and they kept beating it because they kept finding new ways to beat it. So it is possible, and I think that's part of what makes it, why I would argue that it's a sport, because you're always looking to improve. Just like any athlete, it takes time, it takes practice, and you improve and continue to work on your, right. I don't want to say, on your whole perception of the game, not only memorization but also your skill, dexterity, and everything that has to go to have that perfectly speed run game. So that's why I would say it would be a sport, is because it's just like any athlete, you have to put in the time, you have to put in the practice. You can't just pick up a controller and race through it, just like I can't pick up a basketball and expect to play in the WNBA.
I know Michael's dying to hear this, like to talk, but I have this feeling, like this is my experience with speed, like this kind of thing, was Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, the first one, where the bonus mission, which was the Mile High mission on Veteran, that is a sport to try to play that on Veteran. I've never gotten that achievement. I played it. I remember one time for 12, 15 hours straight, I was trying to do that. And I would dumb it down to like one level difficulty less, and I would get it right away. And I'm like, okay, so I just gotta go up again. And I would go up and I couldn't do it. I still don't have that achievement to this day. And I kid myself to think that someday I'm gonna get it. You know,
I've got an achievement like that on my list too. It's not, I don't have it, but I keep thinking one of these days,
so
I will fucking get it.
Is that not a sport? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I literally put in, like, I'm putting in reps, dude. I am trying, you know? That's a sport to me. And if that's what they feel like when they're doing this stuff, to me, that's a sport. I mean, that is literally them doing it.
But you're playing that in a legal way. You're not using glitches or bugs.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right out. There was a glitch there that I could use to get that achievement. I would fucking do it in a second and not feel one bad thing about it.
We're talking Agreed. About him being legal or not. Are we? Here's the question of the legality of it. Is it illegal to use something that's already in the game that the
it's
developers?
There.
It's
right.
there. If I went and created a mod that glitched.
Totally different. Totally different.
That mm-hmm. I would say that is cheating. But right. That's just like somebody using steroids that are not approved to get an edge in a race or a sporting event. Like that's where I would say that yes. But taking advantage of something that's in the game is not cheating if it's in the game.
And we have to kind of look at it differently, as in speed racer. I love that anime.
Look, you know what? The Speed Racer game on the Wii was actually pretty fucking decent. The Wachowski's movie.
The movie was good too.
I love the movie. Anyhow, okay, getting back on topic.
If you're speed running an older game compared to speed running a newer game, I would say if it is going to be a sport, do it just for old games. Don't do it for new because of the patches and everything. If the glitches and stuff were being accepted, and they said this is a legal rule because of speed running, you need these to get through the game quick enough, then yes, I will agree. But if we're thinking just regular sports in that general manner, because of what the rules and stuff is of general sports, like I say, NBA or NFL and stuff like that, those would be considered as cheap. So that's the viewpoint that I'm going. Michael, anything? I'm sorry.
No, not really. Like, as I said, speedrunning is not something I actually put any real thought into. But like, what's it called? I don't deny that it takes effort. It takes the desire to do this, but I don't think it's a sport.
Axiom Verge would be a good sports game. Like if we're talking about sports in modern age to do speed running, Axiom Verge is that because it has a speed runner mode. And now if we get more games like that where games have a speed runner mode, then completely yes, it's sport. Go all out, do whatever you can to get through the game quicker and everything.
So here's where I land on this. One, I think yes, there's enough there to classify it as a sport. Eddie, to your point or your comment of, you know, it breaking the rules of the game, I look at it this way. Take a deck of cards. That's just the pieces of the game. The game itself or whatever rules are decided and agreed upon by everybody. Yes. How many different games can you play with the same deck of 52 cards? So, there's that. Additionally, as far as the issue of, you know, patches and updates and new versions and additions changing the game and the rules of the game, lots of sports, lots of games have their rules updated and adjusted over time. Mm-hmm. That's a thing that happens. So at that point, you know, yeah, it will change the way that people consider how they play that particular sport. So that still fits. You know, it's part of what keeps any sport interesting to a degree. It's not the whole piece, but it is part of it. You know, seeing a game evolve and change over the lifetime of the sport does help preserve the level playing field, as well as, you know, keep it current and keep it interesting, because now everybody has to adapt to a new change or adjustment. You know, there's also the aspect of, as far as if you're playing against somebody, there's plenty of sports that are purely time based. You know, take any racing, you know, event, be it, you know, the 200 meter or NASCAR, there's, you know, you're competing for time. And in some cases, you do so on the track by yourself, and on, you know, with other times on the same track with 100 other people as well. And to that end, even with speed running, you do have speed running races, where it's multiple people, you know, ready, set, go.
Speed running is about getting through the game quicker and setting the highest time limit that you can, or beating it in a certain time limit. So speed running is that. That part I'm not questioning. Think I'm questioning of the things that you do in the game, that if people, because we're talking about
the game, and is just the pieces that you use to play it. It doesn't mean that it's the set of rules. The set of rules is whatever everybody agrees on that's played.
But if we're thinking of it as a sport, if we got people who don't know nothing about, like are we bringing a referee, or if it's going to be a lead and viewers, you know, who know nothing about video games and stuff, they're gonna look at it and be like, oh, he's cheating or she's cheating. That shouldn't be allowed. But if it's something
that's, you can say that about any sport that somebody watches where they don't know the rules.
Yeah. But if people don't understand if that is what speed running is supposed to be, is that you're supposed to use these techniques and these glitches and stuff to get through the game quicker. Mm-hmm. You might be confused. If I brought on a 40-year-old person who
I know plenty of people that are confused watching.
Wait. Be careful what you say about a 40-year-old person.
I'm 43. So I can say
46, so just calm down.
44.
Calm down.
I think this is the first time in a long while I've been the baby in the group. Holy shit.
I'm just saying of a referee who was in their 40s. I'm just using that as an example. And they didn't understand
Well, then why are they reffing the fucking event in the first place?
They wouldn't be
reffing. No. The average gamer. You should look at the average gamer.
Look, there's so many people in regular sports who got referees who don't know what's
going on. No. As somebody who has grown up with referees and stuff, you have to take tests. You have to study the rule books. You can't just go and referee. I mean, maybe in, like, the kids, that's where they'll have to start. Yeah. But if you're reffing, like, higher level
high school and above, college especially.
School, college, you have to have credentials and you have to have the rule books. So almost memorized. So.
Yeah.
That I'm going to say, stop you right there, is that would never happen, because you would have to have somebody who understood the rules. You would never just throw somebody in there who has no clue what's going on.
And that's what I was about to say. Just like if you brought in someone who was trying to referee and stuff, they have to understand what speed running is, because they wouldn't know anything about it and stuff. So they would have to learn that, oh, you're supposed to use these things. You just can't bring everybody into it. And stuff. If we're looking at a sports thing, and Kathy, you just broke it down perfectly about why, with the referees having to take tests, having to learn the insides and outs and stuff, you would have to do the same thing with speed running. And so you just can't bring, and that's why I said, like, a 40-year-old person who's never played video games, who knows nothing about speed running stuff, you just can't bring them to a league or a tournament and expect them to referee something like that, because they don't know what sport speed running is.
Right.
I
think this is just a lot of semantics, really. Mm-hmm. So we would have to sit down and have the convergence of minds and sit down and say, what is this? Is speed running this? What does that entail? As long as you, like, define it, it's totally fine. I think everyone here agrees with that. Like, if you defined it, but when you just say, oh, this is this, then it leaves a lot open, you know?
Right. Well, and then it's like different categories too. If you look at games done quick, you have different categories. You have 100% glitchless speed runs. You have
right, and that's all, that's the great part.
So, you have so like Eddie said, I think you're right, Eddie, is that you would have to set down what is going to be the guideline for that competition, for each competition, so that way.
Yeah, right.
So then, yes, if I use the in-game glitch, then yes, that would be considered cheating because I went against the rules of that specific tournament and that specific speed run.
Look at pool. Whether you're playing 8-ball or 9-ball or snooker, or you know, it's the same board, the same set of pieces.
It's just different rules.
Right, but the specifics are different.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, like you said, Eddie, you know, when you're about the cheating point is that glitch allowed or not allowed? And that would be needing to be established.
Right.
And
even in the speedrunning community, that's very specifically defined in every category of speedrun for every game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's already in place.
And that's why I said and I think that's why I feel like if we would say, can speedrunning be an Olympic sport? Full on, yes. I 100% that. But if we're talking about it like a general sport, I think because of the rules that goes in most sports, it wouldn't be considered. So that's my reasoning.
I feel like it's Monopoly.
Yeah, Monopoly.
Everybody makes their own rule.
Yeah, that's perfect. That is the answer to this question.
Speedrunning is the Monopoly of video games.
Yep. Yeah. If you have house rules you can agree on, then it's good.
Yeah.
That'd be solved
at all. There it is. So, but no, I think it could, and to a degree it should be. I at the very least, it should be somewhere in the realm of esports, and I'm still forever perplexed that it's not. I mean, is that at least a half step that we could all agree on, that it should at least be in esports?
Should at least be considered.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's a whole other topic there.
Have the discussion. Yeah.
That is a whole other topic going into that with the whole speed gaming community and the looking into that whole history.
Yeah.
We
can even tease it. Like, I would say yes, but that's a whole other topic. Like you said, like, why? Why don't people talk about it? Like,
yeah. That's actually a whole separate topic that's still on that list, too.
I know. We'll get to it.
Oh, we will. We've got so much good stuff on that list that I can't wait to get to. That list has been brewing and stewing for a long while, and it's nice to get back to picking some of those off and getting to share it with you guys. But in any case, any final thoughts to wrap on this? Has anybody potentially changed their mind from where we started?
I haven't changed my mind, but I think if we did it as an esport or Olympic sport, I would say yes. But if I'm just thinking it as a general sport, I'm still say no.
Okay. Michael, anything?
It solved the question. Right?
I think Michael achieved his lifelong dream and died.
Thinking about it.
Aww.
Oh, come on. We love you. You have to settle this. Don't you dare tap out before we settle this question.
Oh, all right. Well, we're arguing with Eddie here.
Yeah.
So as much as I love him, I'm apparently spite lives forever. So.
All right. LeGrew, you still on the same page, or have you shifted?
No, I'm on the same page. I just think that a little clarity was brought in. So the people aren't like against the people. What I mean by the people, Eddie and Michael, they're not against.
Hear that, Michael? The idea you're people now.
Yeah.
You take it back.
They're not against it. They just want really defined rules.
I'm actually against it.
Michael's against it. Okay, fine. He's against it because he's against everything that everyone else wants.
Why stop?
But you're right though. Okay, so if Michael's totally against it, Eddie is for like maybe it with some rules. I've always been like, yes, it's a sport, but it has to be defined. And I do agree with that. So let's define it. Let's just get it going and get the conversation started. That's the most important part.
I think it should be there in some capacity. It just feels like it belongs. I don't know in what breadth, depth, or scope, but it should be there somewhere. Like I said, at the very least, I think it should be somewhere in the esports mix, if not sports. I think there's enough physical and mental acuity that it should be in sports, leaving out the esports question for the time being. It ticks the boxes as far as I'm concerned. But then I suppose you just ask the larger question is what defines a sport? Which, Lord, if I'd thought about it, I'd have probably pulled up that Webster's Dictionary definition before we started this, but it's occurring to me now, and I'm like, at least to me, it feels like it ticks the boxes. Now I'm kind of curious. I want to go look at the Webster's definition and just see if it ticks the boxes according to that. Just for the sake of pure curiosity, I think it's an interesting thing to explore.
I have the definition by the here.
Hit me. Let's. Yes.
It's an activity involving physical exertion and skill in which an individual or a team competes against another for others or entertainment, or competes against another or others for entertainment. So.
I think it ticks all those boxes.
I mean, you are using physical exertion.
Mm-hmm. You are.
It is skill.
Uh-huh. That's two.
And you're competing against, even if you're competing against yourself, yeah.
Well, and golf, even then, you're sport, doing leaderboards for time, for best time, so you're mm-hmm. competing against others.
And that's you're doing three. It for entertainment.
Yeah.
Because people watch. I mean, just look at all the streaming places where mm-hmm. people are constantly practicing or competing, and look at Games Done Quick.
That's an interesting piece that you don't even get with regular sports is for the most part, nobody has a ton of interest in watching, you know, other athletes practicing.
Yeah.
They just want to see them competing.
Yeah, they don't. Correct. You don't see the, well, I would argue on that some. One, but we're not going to go into that argument.
You do some, but.
Not really, though.
I'm thinking of like the football camps.
Right.
Yeah. You know, because I remember it was a big thing in Chicago camp, for people to go watch camp. The Bears.
Yeah, spring
practice,
training, all that. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, that's a whole different thing.
But that's a different, yeah. But
right. But I mean, that's pretty small comparatively to, you know, watching teams play at a game mm-hmm. versus with speedrunning, you almost get a pretty dead even, I would think, between the people watching the individuals practicing day in and day out over and over and over and over mm-hmm. and, you know, watching big events like GDQ.
Yeah.
So that's one where speedrunning, I think, even has the upper hand here, just in terms of as something that could potentially even be monetized as a sport if you're looking at doing so from the entertainment aspect. That's one of those things too where player personality even gets to come out more mm-hmm. than you see in other sports. I mean, don't get me wrong, you'll see and get some of it in, you know, on the field, on the court, on the track, whatever the case may be, but not in the way that you do where it's very personality focused. It's almost a sport where the entertainment value comes before the competitive value.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that just really puts a whole different layer to it that I actually hadn't thought about. Give me one sec here. I've got something I want to try and add into this conversation before we close, and it's going to take me half a second. I apologize. I may even actually clip this bit, but
whenever he's doing that, I want to ask everybody one game you would love to see as a speed run, as a sport. like for me, I would love to see Contra. Like,
oh yeah. I'm surprised that one hasn't been done yet.
It's a hard game, that, and that might be the reason why.
Contra's not that hard, actually. Arcade version, but yeah, like with that, definitely Contra for me. Michael, do you have one?
I do not.
Okay.
Trying to think of one that is not done very often, because I mean, I watch a lot of speedrunners in my off time that. I'm gonna have to think about that one.
There we go. There it is. All right, we're wrapping, but we have a last edition here. Dear friend is back with us. Say hi.
Hi.
Hey.
All right. So, for anybody that hasn't been around since you were here. Quick intro and then weigh in, yes or no, and why should speedrunning be considered a sport?
I think that it should be considered a sport.
Go deeper, give us a why.
I mean, the amount of concentration and practice that it takes, just like as an example, watching people speedrun Super Mario Brothers. My little brother tried that when he was like 17, and he did not have the skills. It takes a certain amount of skills to speedrun. Mm-hmm. Arguably the same amount of dedication as any other sport.
And real quick, because you came in behind the eight ball here, a quick introduction. Say hi.
Hi.
It's lovely to have you back, dear. It's been
happy
entirely
to be
too long. So, returning cast mate Riker is playing one of the hardest games of all with a very high learning curve, and that is parenthood.
Gross.
I mean, it's not wrong either. I'm not saying it's not. If somebody, it's, you know, one, two, yeah, half of us on here have done it, so it's gross. That's not in question. But you know, you fatten them up and then you eat good one day.
Well, you hope you eat good.
You're a dirty liar. Yours is still running around.
I'm not done fattening up. She's hitting the growth spurt.
Yeah. The whole idea is when you're trailing trailing up and can help you.
It's a risk-reward situation. Like, how long do you let them keep meandering around before it's no longer financially worth it?
Well, considering this one's about to start getting chores.
Ooh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm gonna need someone to start mowing my lawn. Hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
So, all right. Any final thoughts before we close out?
No.
All right. Well, let's call it then. Want to say thank you to our awesome sponsor, Imaginary Authors. Thank you to my friends for coming and hanging out with me again, and thank you to everybody that tuned in and listened. And just a reminder. And I will never stop reminding you, if you enjoyed this, share it with somebody else to make their day better. But if you hated it, you should still share it with somebody. Just pick somebody you don't like and make them miserable with you. Don't suffer alone. Phone a friend. Here to help. So, but that's it. Let's say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
And we'll see you next time on World 1-1 Podcast. Bye, everybody.
World 1-1 Podcast is powered by the World 1-1 Podcast Network. Press start to engage your mind. Peace!
Frank liked to play board games. We play board games all the time. He'd make up the rules. That's what I liked. He'd just look at the pieces and create something, you know? Frank told me when he was 11 years old, he said, all rules are man-made. I'm a man, I'm going to make them up. Isn't that a beautiful way to look at the world?